The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Hi. Hello. Good evening. Hi. Welcome. Welcome to Happy Hour. It's a nice, cozy happy hour tonight. I just came back from teaching a retreat on Sunday, today being Wednesday, and right before going to teach, I actually did a 3-week self-retreat myself at home, which was awesome. It was wonderful. So I'm coming kind of fresh from sitting myself, teaching, kind of being immersed, and I'm happy that tonight we're a cozy group. So the topic I was reflecting on while driving here and being stuck in traffic was practicing with joy. You know, anyone new to Happy Hour? Yeah, great.
It's my second time.
It's your second time. Newish.
Yes.
Newish. You've been here before.
First time to see you.
Oh, yeah. Great, great. Welcome. So, Happy Hour, we explore different practices, metta, compassion, mudita, which is vicarious joy, and sometimes equanimity. And it's nice to give vicarious joy, or mudita, or joy, or sympathetic joy, more attention. It's with our fast-paced lives and with so much that is happening in the world and in the news, and I don't have to say any more. Practicing compassion is more readily accessible, perhaps, with what's happening in our world than practicing joy or vicarious joy. And yet it's just as important in this condition of being human, our humanity, to also cultivate joy, a life without joy becomes kind of gray, can become gray. So as a part of this practice, let's turn our hearts, our minds, to cultivating joy. So I'll lead a practice in mudita, joy cultivation, and my invitation is to give yourself to it, to explore it. In fact, I'd like to share one poem with you. Let's see. It's called "The Brief for the Defense," and I have it on my phone. Here it is. And it's by it is by Jack Gilbert. So here we go. Wait. Okay. Sorrow everywhere, slaughter everywhere. If babies are not starving somewhere, they are starving somewhere else, with flies in their nostrils. But we enjoy our lives because that's what God wants. He's using the language of God here, you know, divinity. I kind of like think of, anyway, I'll read the poem the way it is. You interpret it however it works for you. But there are more parts that I'm loving that will come later. So hang in there. Otherwise, the mornings before the summer dawn would not be made so fine. The Bengal tiger would not be fashioned so miraculously well. The poor women at the fountain are laughing together between the suffering they have known and the awfulness in the future, smiling and laughing while somebody in the village is very sick. There is laughter every day in the terrible streets of Calcutta, and the women laugh in the cages of Bombay. If we deny our happiness, this is the part I really appreciate about the poem. If we deny our happiness, resist our satisfaction, we lessen the importance of their deprivation. We must risk delight. We can do without pleasure. But not delight, not enjoyment. We must have the stubbornness to accept our gladness in the ruthless furnace of this world, I love the words, we must have the stubbornness to accept our gladness in the ruthless furnace of the world. To make injustice the only measure of our attention is to praise the devil. If the locomotive of the Lord runs us down, we should give thanks that the end had magnitude. We must admit there will be music despite everything. We stand at the prow against we stand at the prow again of a small ship anchored late at night in the tiny port looking over to the sleeping island. The waterfront is three shuttered cafes and one naked light burning. To hear the faint sound of oars in the silence as the rowboat comes slowly out and then goes back is truly worth all the years of sorrow that are to come. So referencing a reference, an appreciation of our gladness, our joy, not making our suffering or other people's suffering the only measure that has magnitude, but really our gladness, our joy. So with that as the preamble, I'd like to invite you to get into your meditation posture, whatever is comfortable for you. Maybe moving a little first before you get into your meditation posture, moving your back, moving your arms, kind of asking what your body needs from you in this moment. And then settling into your posture, whether a cushion or a chair, making sure you're comfortable, you have enough cushions to support you. And allowing your back to be straight. As if you're held up invisibly by magnets, gently pulling you up, not so much effortful. And then relaxing your muscles, relaxing your body. Relaxing. As much as possible. Arriving in this moment, in this body, however way it is right now, whether it's tired or tense or relaxed or joyous, whatever it is. Embracing. It's like this, being in this body right now. Relaxing, receiving. Allowing things to be just as they are in this body, in this mind. Nothing to resist. Nothing to make better. Just allowing, softening. It's like this for a reason today. Opening up, breathing, allowing the breath actually to be breathed. Not so much, you're not so much breathing. The breath is happening on its own. It has been breathing you for a long, long time, for many years. So let it continue. Simply being aware that that's what's happening right now. Breath, moving through the body. Moving through the abdomen. Softening and relaxing with the out-breath. The breath moving through the chest. Through the nostrils, moving through the whole body, the breath, allowing the breath to breathe you throughout your body, your head, your neck, your shoulders, your arms and hands, the breath moving through. The chest, the abdomen, the whole torso, feeling the breath expanding and contracting the whole torso. Your lower back. The lower belly, lower abdomen. Groin area, upper legs, lower legs, your feet. As if the breath can move freely throughout. Throughout this body, bellowing, relaxing, softening, settling with each and every breath. Allowing the attention to rest just for a few moments with the breath, with the sensations of the breath. No expectations, no tightness. Just resting and relaxing for a moment of being human. Breathing is like this, putting down, bowing to and putting down all the worries and cares of the day, just for a few moments. Respecting them, you'll come back to them. Telling them, I'll come back to you, but for now I'll just sit with my breath. With just simply being human and just resting for a moment. Just resting and being. Being human being, not a human doing, not a human thinking. And now we'll turn our attention, turn our minds to joy. The way we explore it today, somewhat an unconventional way, I invite you to be creative and bring to mind different beings in the world that are happy, whether or not you know them. In fact, our entryway into vicarious joy today is going to be via all beings. Just as there is plenty of suffering and sadness in the world, there's plenty of joy in the world too. In the world today, there's probably a child somewhere that is really happy. There's a child somewhere that's really well taken care of, happy, joyful. Maybe it's their birthday. Maybe it's a young child, maybe it's a 5-year-old, and they're just ecstatic that it's their birthday. And, you know, kids are so excited about their birthdays. So bring that to mind, a sense of joy of another being, a child, enjoying their birthday cake and the candles, the enthusiasm of a child, blowing the candles up, oh, making your wish. Sense of delight, joy can be infectious. Feeling the enthusiasm, the joy, vicarious joy, the happiness, just the simple happiness of this young being, this young child somewhere in the world. You've been a child at some point also. You know children. You've known children. I'm just so excited. So happy. When they receive a gift, for example, they want. Or when they play, the joy of pure play. Perhaps imagining a group of children playing happily. Maybe they're at a lake or a pool splashing, just having a great time. And maybe the child in you, in your mind's eye, is joining in with them. Just the sheer pleasure of jumping in the water, being with friends. Seeing yourself as part of this network of humanity, part of whose experience is joy, and wishing that joy to be continued. May there be more of it for these children. May their happiness and joy continue. May it never fade. May it grow. I'd like to invite you to bring to mind someone today in the world, somewhere in the world, very likely was cured from an illness. Maybe they had a meeting with their doctor where they were said, hey, you're cured. No anomalies are found in your tests. Or maybe they had a cold or something simpler, the flu. And they feel better today, the sense of joy of being healthy again that you know you've had. Sense of gratitude, sense of joy to be able to get out of bed, to not be sick anymore. Feeling the sense of gratitude, the joy this being is feeling today somewhere in the world. Probably many people in the world today, given there are 7 billion of us. And feeling happy for their happiness. As if it were you, or somebody you knew dearly. Feeling happy for happiness, joy for joy. May your good fortune, may your good health continue. I'm so happy you're healthy. May you have more health. Good health throughout your life. Whoever you are, you're just like me. You want to live and be happy. You have hopes and dreams, whoever you are in the world. And just as I would wish for myself to be happy, and I would rejoice in my own happiness and good fortune, I rejoice in yours without needing to know you. I rejoice there is goodness somewhere in the world. There is happiness somewhere in the world. There is laughter, there's gratitude, there's good health somewhere in the world. I'm happy for your happiness. I'm happy for your happiness. Now maybe bring to mind another scenario. Maybe it's a young college graduate, a young person, or someone who's been looking for a job, looking for a way to make livelihood, right livelihood. And maybe today they got the offer they've been dreaming about as a way to contribute to the world. And they're just so happy. They're just so happy. You might have been in that situation at some point in your life. So feeling that happiness that comes with yes, yes, great. Ah, sense of joy. Feeling happy for their happiness. Feeling happy for this person you don't know, but for their good fortune. Their heart is singing with joy. Let your heart sing with joy for them. May they be happy. May they continue to be happy and joyous. And contribute to the world in the way they want, they wish. And be able to take care of themselves financially, happily. Allowing your heart open to the goodness in the world, whether or not you know this person. Part of the human family. Letting your heart expand with happiness. As if they were in your family. As if they were your younger brother or sister. Your younger sibling in this human family. Opening your heart to joy. Allowing your heart to feel joy, vicarious joy, sympathetic joy. Happiness for someone else's happiness. Now I invite you to bring to mind something that you're happy about in your own life. You're grateful for. Could be anything. Maybe something that has happened recently, or maybe a long time ago, or maybe something that's ongoing. Maybe you're enjoying good health. Maybe you're able to exercise or go to the gym. Or maybe there's someone in your life that you are really grateful for. A friend or a relative. Whatever it is, bring something that brings you joy. Maybe something you do that you really love doing. And the joy it brings you. Whatever it is, bring your own happiness, your own joy to your own mind. To your own heart. And feeling happy for your own happiness. I am happy for my happiness. This is great. May my good fortune continue. May it increase. May it never end. Allowing yourself to really bask. To really sit with, open to, acknowledge, really acknowledge your own good fortune in whatever ways. You're blessed. May my happiness continue. May my good fortune in these ways increase. May they never end. I'm happy for my own happiness. I delight in my joy, in my good fortune. And often when we do this, a sense of gratitude arises. Give into it. Let there be gratitude in your heart. For the blessings, for the good fortunes, good conditions in your life, whatever that might be. If your mind wanders into stories and revelries of past and future, keep it simple. Just keep it simple. We're trying to stay. We're just trying to bring up blessings and stay with the feeling. Stay in the body. Not so much in your head with thoughts and stories, but just stay in the body. Drop in what you're grateful for and just stay with the feeling. Just stay with the feeling. That's all. And in order to keep you engaged, maybe just silently reciting one of the phrases. I'm happy for my happiness. Or whatever version works for you. I'm happy for my own good fortune, for my own happiness. For the conditions of my life, for these blessings. Acknowledging, bringing to mind, and staying with them. No stories. And now I'm going to invite you to bring yourself together with the kid you imagined earlier, was having a birthday today and was happy, the 5-year-old. As well as the person who's cured from an illness somewhere in the world. Bring them to mind. As well as the young person who just got a job offer today in your mind, in your mind's eye. Bring them all together with you, all 4 of you. Just feeling the human connection, enjoy. Different ways joy shows up for us, sense of gratitude, of good fortune, good conditions in life that can arise. And for all of you, keeping all 4 in mind, 3 of them imaginary. You somewhat imaginary. Bring all 4 of you in mind to mind. And just wishing all of you goodness, happiness. May your happiness, may your good fortune continue. May it never cease, may it never end. Being happy for all of your happinesses in different ways that they show up in the world. May we all enjoy and appreciate the good fortune in our lives, the happiness, the blessings. Open our heart to joy and gratitude. So now we have some time for what we call relational practice, relational metta or vicarious joy. So the part of this practice is we're going to get into groups of 3 in the moment, and they're optional, but I strongly recommend you try it because I think it's a big part of bringing our practice in silence on the cushion, actually to interaction and to other people. The way we practice is get into a group and each person will have, you know, a minute or two as a monologue. And the prompt is, you know, what was this practice like for you, bringing attention to joy, your own joy? And maybe as a bonus question tonight, maybe you share one thing you're happy about in your life with your partners. And then the relational, so that's the kind of conversation part. And the relational part of it is, it's mindfulness of listening and speaking. So when you're listening, stay embodied. Listen with your whole body. Stay as embodied as you possibly can. Feel your body as you're listening. Also receive with metta, with kindness. Whatever the person who's speaking is saying, they can say no wrong. This is a practice of holding with kindness whatever another person is saying and listening fully, not preparing what you're going to say next, because you don't have to say anything for 2 minutes, all 2 minutes. You're just holding space. You're not even saying, me too. None of that. Let them have their 2 minutes. So, and then when time comes for you to talk, again, stay embodied and speak from your heart. You don't have to say, you know, something that's dearest to you, you don't want to share. Share whatever is comfortable for you, but speak from your heart. And just relate to another 2 human beings who are here, cultivating their heart and mind in this practice. Any questions about what we're about to do?
You time.
Usually, you know what, actually I don't time. I just let it be, people talk for a minute or two and then they move on. It's pretty flexible. So yeah. Yeah. Is that cool? Great. So let's get into groups of 3. We're going to have 1 group of 4 tonight. We're not divisible by 3. And then it's best to, if you're on the floor, I'll be on the floor. If you're up on the chair, I'll be on the chair. Please go. And yeah, just 1 or 2 minutes. So let's come back to the big group. Thank you, partners, and let's come back to the big group. Great. Great. So we have some time for comments, for questions about how either the practice of mudita, vicarious joy, was for you, and also how discussing it, what came up for you when you actually spoke about what the practice was like and you heard other people's experience. And just to say one thing before we start, vicarious joy, the practice that we did, is one of the four Brahmaviharas, one of the four heavenly abodes, the first one being metta, which we usually do. If we do so much metta, loving kindness, that seems like the other three never get mentioned. Then there's compassion, karuna, which we do here a bunch of times too. The third one is mudita, vicarious joy, which is what we did tonight. And the last one is upekkha, equanimity. So with vicarious joy, it's a beautiful way of practicing. The Dalai Lama says when you're just happy for your own happiness, you have a 1 out of 7 billion chance of being happy. But when you're being happy for other people's happiness, that just increases. So the way usually one enters into this practice is you think of someone you care about, you love, you think about their joy, their happiness, and then someone, maybe yourself, and you know, benefactor, friend is one of the categories, early categories. Then somebody neutral, you don't know very well, and you know, people you have difficulty with, and then all beings. Actually, you start with the first way you start is you think of someone in your life who's having good fortune. Actually, that's how you usually enter into this practice. Someone who has good fortune. So the reason why, as I said, this was a little unconventional today, I mean, these practices, there's a lot of imagination in the practices of the heart, right? Mindfulness, you just observe what's happening. You don't imagine what's happening. But in the practice of Brahmaviharas, there's a lot of imagination to bring up, to really tap into that feeling of joy or gratitude or compassion or metta. So with this, basically, I was bringing in both the category of all beings, which is a category that we get into later in this practice, with the category of someone who's having good fortune. Because somewhere today, somebody has had good fortune. So it's a way of bringing those two practices together. So I'm really curious, what that was like for you? What you explored, what you discovered about yourself? Was it difficult to think about joy instead of sorrow and sadness, you know, or was it easy? Was it fun? So take it on, please.
Yeah, I have a question.
Bhupal, maybe just a little soft.
For me, it was difficult to come up with thoughts of people. And I wonder if it's because, do you think either... is it that my mind is not the... throughout the day, is it the natural state not to be in a compassionate framework? That's why maybe it's difficult for me to jump into a compassionate... I know there are compassionate people, but it's just maybe my state of mind throughout the day. And as they say, meditation sometimes takes, you know, 20 minutes to get into that state or so. So I wonder maybe... that's what I just needed more time to get to that point.
So let's have some clarity because let's explore this together. So what you're saying is that at the beginning of the practice, when I was suggesting that you bring to mind people who are happy today, you know, just there are people in the world who are happy today. They've had good fortune. It was difficult for you to bring that up. Is that what you're saying?
To find people.
To find people in your mind, in your imagination. But basically, it's not so much finding people, just imagining people, right? So you're just finding it hard to imagine someone being happy. Yeah. How was it for you when I suggested or I invited you to bring up something in your own life you're happy about or grateful about?
Maybe I fell asleep.
Okay.
Maybe that was the issue. Maybe my mind was a little sleepy. But I think it's easier for me to find the examples of myself.
Uh-huh.
But it was hard for me just to imagine
people.
I think I have a hard time imagining, and I've always had that problem when it's like you do the compassion meditation where it's uh-huh. supposed, you're trying to do someone else, imagining someone else.
Yeah.
It's just hard for me to visualize a person or a compassionate person that I can do it with myself, but
how about when you know the directions are, you know, imagine somebody you care about, for example, someone whom you have easy loving kindness for. When instructions are like that, is it also difficult for you to bring them to mind?
It tends to flee away.
Okay, so it seems like that's a tendency of your mind to not, you know, to have difficulty kind of bringing a being, another person, even if you know them well, to bring them up and kind of let them be. So I would say this can be a practice, like any other practice, to just hang in there and not be disappointed. Just because you try it once and it doesn't happen, like, I'm not good at that, forget it. Just hang in there. And it's not uncommon for the image, you know, bring up the image of someone and it just disappears. That's completely normal. But you just keep at it. You keep bringing it up. You keep bringing it up. You keep bringing it up. You keep doing that until, becomes that way of conjuring up someone's felt sense or image. It becomes more easier for you through practice.
Yeah, I think it's weird. Like, I'll imagine it, and it's like, it's like, I want to hold on to it as like, but then mm-hmm. I can't. It's like, it's not real. It's, you know, it's not the real thing. And then it'll be like,
so is it that it goes away on its own, or is there a judgment in the mind that, this is not real. This is not real. Because that could be another reason why it's kind of going away. Because you're like, this is not real. Like, is that what's happening?
Doesn't feel real.
So that's what I'm going to invite you to actually explore, because it may not just be that your mind somehow cannot bring up an image and hold on to it. There might be actually a judgmental way towards images and towards what's imaginary, towards what's imagined as not real, not right, not good, need to stay materialist right here, what I can feel. And that judgment can be so subtle. It may be very subtly unseen, but it's actually operating in squashing your imaginary powers. Yeah, yeah, okay. Thank you for that, yeah. What else? What else did you notice? Yep.
Hi, it's also a question.
Hold it closer.
It's a question for you. I had a really hard time actually focusing on my breath for the longest time.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to just remember to focus on my breath. And this meditation had several components.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit too complex for me to really get deep into uh-huh. each component. So
yeah.
I understand we need practice. So do you advise to practice very simple for a longer time?
Yeah.
Break it down into small pieces and focus on only one at a time?
Right. So the aspect, the first part, just being with the breath, that's basically just settling the mind. That was the purpose of that, was just to settle the mind, to get the mind ready, prepared for the practice we did together. So maybe your mind needs a little more settling first. Yeah. So I suggest that, you know, if that is the case for you, maybe acknowledging that right now, that's where you are in your practice. And maybe sit a little before you come here, before you arrive, so that the mind is a little more settled already, so that it can be more open to the metta or mudita or whatever instructions that are given later.
Yeah. I just sat in traffic, so.
Oh, you were sitting in traffic, yeah. Okay. I may not have been exactly relaxing, but yeah, great. Any last comments or questions? Okay. Got it. Let's make it brief. Here it comes.
So my happiness, it's kind of funny because it's embedded in sadness at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And but the sadness would like to sort of be the defining color in the event, because I'm here on a healing venture for my
mm-hmm.
hip.
Mm-hmm.
And like I have someone fabulous that's helping me, which is a happy event.
Uh-huh.
And like today, a very cool, deep experience that indicates strength.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I walked here, probably 50% of it was like, okay. And of course, 50%, I had my cane and needed it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I sort of liked embellishing or saturating myself in abundant.
Yeah.
May it grow and may it go on forever. Was it grow or what was
made
it?
Made increase.
Increase, yeah. And it seemed like such a luxury, because I think there's something I heard where you're not supposed to cling to things. Huh? But like tonight, yeah, you can cling to this. You can let it be. You can let it grow. And I thought, okay, let's do this.
Yeah. Interesting. I appreciate the comment that you bring up. A couple of things I want to mention and then wrap up quickly. One is that, you know, there's a lot of times in our lives, it's a mix. You know, there's a blessing and there's a difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of, you know, they might be together. It might be someone whom we really, really care about. They get on our nerves now and then, but we love them and we're so grateful they're in our lives. You know, it's not pure. So, mm-hmm. so it so much really depends on the perspective from which we look at different things. It's mm-hmm. really the perspective. So if there's one word I want to leave us tonight with, it's the perspective with which we look at different events in our lives and different people and ourselves. So that's really, that perspective is really important. And the other thing about clinging is, again, in this practice, we're not so much clinging, but we're resting in it. Because if it goes away, if the happiness goes away, if that friend that we really care about, it moves away, it's like, oh, you know, it's not so much clinging to that happiness, but when I wish I knew. There's a poem that I'm thinking of. Okay, that's what I'm going to end with. Hold on, it's a beautiful poem that has to do with joy. Let's see if I can quickly find it in my notes here. I may not. No, I can't find it. But it's something like, you know, those who binds himself to a joy, kind of like it's like squashing and like killing the joy when you're like, you're like clinging to it. But one who kisses the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise. And I'll bring it for next time, maybe. But it's basically that. It's not clinging to a joy and suffocating and killing the butterfly of joy. But, you know, as it flies, you kiss it, you appreciate it, you delight in it. So that's what's recommended. That's what the teaching is. So, and whoever wants to know what that poem is, stay and I'll find it. But I do want to let everyone go since we're running over time. Great. Thank you so much for coming here tonight and practicing. May you be happy and filled with joy.